number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. Barcanada, the barrage. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Trevor, isn't tonight a big game for Wemby, Defensive Player of the Year? He just had a great showing versus Jokic last week. Now Gobert can get exposed by Jokic tonight in the biggest regular season game of the year on ESPN. I hear where you're going with that.
Yeah.
It, you know, they all add up.
It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. Teasers and parlays. Do y'all know where I can find the Yankees for Cy Young? Will Hill thinking outside the box on Gil's question. Oh, Norman Vegas points out the whole thing about both Scottie Scheffler and Max Homa say that if their wives go into labor,
yes,
expected in the next 2 to 3 weeks roughly, that they will leave Augusta mid-tournament, if necessary.
Yeah, I believe it was 1 to 3 weeks in between that range for both of them is what I saw yesterday on due dates. So, yeah.
Well, can I ask you something? If Max Homa starts the back nine at Augusta up three strokes.
Why are you going to make me answer this question?
And then he gets word that the wife is in labor. Seriously. Is Homa leaving? Is he leaving?
All right, as a man who's not married and doesn't have kids, I'm staying and finishing that tournament. Easier for me to say, though.
Homa's going to be like, I know you're my mishpucha, but I got this Masters thing I got to do. Plus, it's history. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some golf. So let's talk some 88th Masters. We continue with Ben Rossa, director of betting at Stochastic and Odds Shopper. You can follow him on Twitter at JazzRazDFS. I know that's his Skype. Is that also his Twitter? Two Z's on Jazz, one Z on Raz, DFS. Joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. Yeah, it's a great week for sports. So happy to hop on with you guys.
I appreciate it. First of all, I mentioned Stochastic and Odds Shopper. Can you give us the elevator pitch on both of those?
Sure. Yeah. So what we do, we focus on DFS on the Stochastic side, just really building tools to help people hopefully compete in these large field tournaments. And then on Odds Shopper, we've really honed in on, you know, what you guys are doing so well. Just the betting market is exploding, and we're super excited to be venturing in there. So it's been a great time, and we're really excited to see the industry keep progressing.
All right. You have a tweet that I want to start with here.
Uh-oh.
And it's already, I don't like my tweets. And I guess this is more DFS than betting, but I don't know. Maybe there's some bleed over. And it was something like the three golfers I'm picking, but you should not. Who are those three and why?
Yeah, so those are definitely, I want to preface it, guys that are either under the radar, not playing well, and the DFS side maybe a little cheap for salary savings. And the guys that I listed were Justin Rose, Sergio, who I think is really, really interesting, and then Thorbjørn Olesen, who I really don't know what to do with, to be honest. So do I think those guys are going to win the tournament? Probably not. Could one of them creep on that first page, though? I think that is possible, particularly Rose or Sergio. I think they do have it still in there somewhere.
And you said that I'm picking, but you shouldn't. You're sort of saying it's not for the faint of heart, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, I think you nailed it. If you don't want to suffer, you know, where the guy's in the flower garden on Thursday, I might, you know, say stay away from those three.
Who is the guy, I always ask this in some form, but who's the guy that you are not going to have any exposure on, either DFS or betting-wise, that if they end up either winning it all or certainly contending late on Sunday, you're going to hate yourself for the most for not having a position on because you've thought about playing him, but you're just not going to in the end?
Yeah, so I think ultimately it's going to be, I may have some head-to-head, but I'm not betting Decky. And I'm a big Hideki guy. Obviously, he's already got one. And I don't see any reason why he can't compete. It's just the way the board fell. I had to make room for some other players, and he's coming in hot. He was good at the Players, good at Valero. If Decky wins again, I will be a little frustrated because there was a world where I could have come up with that, but it's not, unfortunately, this world.
Yeah. Well, you can't bet on everybody, right? Like, yep. I mean, if we did a Masters heavy show for 2 weeks, we would name damn near every golfer in the pool.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's seriously, you can't bet everybody. Okay, we brought up the weather issue, and we're gonna have Kevin Roth on a little later on the show to talk about the weather at Augusta, specifically tomorrow and maybe even Friday. The weekend's supposed to be beautiful. To what extent are you trying to make hay of that and then bet accordingly?
Yeah, it's always the age-old question. Do I throw everything out and then I end up overcompensating for the weather? Do I ignore it and then maybe be punished? I'm doing a little of both. You know, it's a 90 man field, basically 89 guys. So I don't think it's as big of a deal. But I did look at it. What the way I really approached it, if I'm down to two guys, whether it's betting or DFS, and I have them razor close coin flip type scenario, I'll look at those tee times. And if they're in maybe that middle wave, kind of where I think it's more ideal conditions, I might give the nod to them. But to be honest, I'm not overhauling the card this week because of the weather.
Okay. And I assume you're not staying away from Scheffler or Homa based on, you know, possibilities of wives getting pregnant either, right? There's, you're not doing that, just to clear that.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't factor in strokes gained. Yeah, baby. But we'll say. We will say.
Hey, because, you know, if you, again, if you listen to enough, some people are like, I can't bet this guy because, you know. All right, you do something else, which I love, which is you do, and you do it for most tournaments, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you come up with five categories, and then you spit out the guy. You did that, I know, for the Valero Texas Open even this past week. And I'm curious if you would do that with us now. Guy I'm playing that you shouldn't, you just mentioned, right? That was a combo of Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, and who was the third again?
The third was Thorbjørn Olesen. But if I had to hone into one, it's honestly Sergio, because I think he's fascinating. He played well at Live Miami. I don't even know what that means, to be honest. And he's got a couple decades of experience here. So I'm interested in Sergio, but man, am I nervous.
I mean, isn't that, by the way, just the, because we talked about this a little yesterday, trying to assess Live golfers' performance as a generality is a tough thing, right?
100%. It's just so unique, and we don't have a ton of historical data on it. So it is very difficult.
All right, guy I'm playing that you shouldn't. Fade. Who are you fading?
So this is going to hurt because this guy punishes me. I'm fading Brooks. Again, another Liv guy. It's not that I know Brooks can win. He's been super close like a lot of guys. It's just a product of opportunity cost, both on DFS and betting. You know, he's sitting around 20-1. I have other priorities a little above him, and I certainly had priorities below. And he got squeezed, so I'm going to have to roll the dice and hope that Brooks is not in form and that he doesn't pull one of his classic major big game hunter scenarios.
It's very true. And we've all been there. We've all been there without a Brooks position and just seeing him go on a tear. Okay, then you have favorite play. I assume this is a DFS related thing? Favorite play in DFS?
More so DFS for sure, and it's a guy that I just can't quit. And I do want to say I have a ticket on him. It's Tony Finau, my guy. Can't quit him. Close in Houston. I know. Majors have not been overly kind, but he's just got the game for Augusta. I really still believe that. And he's shown some flashes, getting closer. He's got the reps. He's a good price in DFS. And even on the betting board, I believe that Tony Finau can win a major. And I wouldn't be stunned to see in the right conditions him really, really contend.
Great course history here at Augusta. By the way, about golf DFS, how would you characterize the growth of it? Has it plateaued, or is it growing at a steady pace, or growing at a meteoric pace?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's one of these things that the great thing about DFS golf is a lot of people will play it for four tournaments, the four majors. And when they do, I really do think it's a positive experience. You get a 4-day sweat, or in my case, usually a 2-day sweat, sadly. But for good people, you got 4 days to really sweat it out. And I think a lot of people do end up getting into that ecosystem. So I'm not saying it's you know, some ridiculously exponential growth, but I do think a lot of people are giving DFS golf a shot and really coming away with a positive experience.
All right. And then the money question, who do you think wins this?
Well, I mean, legitimately, it's 10 years running for me. Rory McIlroy is going to do it. I said that last year. Yeah. I said that when they didn't even have the tournament. I don't even care. I really believe he can. And I'm not sure if the pressure is mounting every year or with guys like Scheffler really taking over. Maybe I'm not going to say Rory's under the radar because he's not, but maybe it's just, let's see where Rory can really come in and just give himself a chance. He's been so close so many times. He destroys the par fives. Limit the mistakes elsewhere, and Rory will have a shot. So I'm going to stick with my man to the bitter end. I'm going to say Rory finally does it.
Rory McIlroy trying to complete the career slam, of course. This is the only one of the four majors that eludes him. And then I just feel contractually obligated to ask you that, so I will on our way out here. We only have 30 seconds. Eldrick Tiger Woods, can he make the cut here?
I think he can make the cut. I think that's a pretty fair and lofty goal for him. I'd love to just see him stay healthy. I worry about it. But I think in this, with top 50 and ties, he can get through. I'd be stunned if it's anything more than that, to be honest, though.
And Phil's flourish at the end last year, shooting the final round 65, you don't anticipate something like that again?
I think we're drawing to another eclipse before that happens again. No, I don't see that.
Eclipse prior to that happening. So Phil's shooting another 65 at Augusta. Ben, a pleasure. Once again, your Twitter, which is very nice, Jazz Raz DFS, 2 Z's on the Jazz, 1 Z on the Raz, Jazz Raz DFS, Stochastic and Odds Shopper. Pleasure talking to you. Good luck with all your bets. Good luck with your DFS as well, man.
Really appreciate you having me on. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Ben Raza, everybody. Stochastic and Odd Shopper. You ever hang out at Stochastic and Odd Shopper?
Yeah, we had. So we had a partnership with Stochastic for a little bit back in the day.
I remember that.
Ben is a must follow if you're betting golf week in and week out. Great DFS insight, great betting insight.
Golf betting, as I've said for many years, the sport most ripe for a betting revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old World Sports Exchange, Mom.
Jason, thanks for the update. Sam Burns and Scotty Scheffler.
Sam Burns, who did I say? Homer.
That's Homer.
My bad. Coming back, more golf and basketball next. Numbers Game brought to you by DraftKings, straight from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. By the way, the VSiN.com website is looking good. How to bet on golf, front and center. We have everything for...
Yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah, look, it's written by a Kelly Bidlon. it's there for all kinds of bettors. Again, we don't just talk to those who have been betting golf for years, but those who are just starting out. How to bet on golf with the great Kelly Bidlon. Michael Lombardi chimes in. What will the Giants do at quarterback? NFL draft talk will ramp up next week. And a whole bunch of other stuff. Masters Golf Breakdown from the great Wes Reynolds, all at VSiN.com. Check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlon. This is from... Oh, Phil Weiss, because I said Fezzik was the voice of God when he chimed in with his dunk rankings. I was being sarcastic, Phil. Phil goes, God didn't do so well betting against FDU, did it? Take it easy, Gil. People don't miss. People do not miss a beat. Thank you, Phil. The always lovely Phil Weiss. 3Jack H3131. Gil, I recall those Nationals bets in 2019 when it was our quote-unquote obligation to bet those plus prices. You'd have to be living in totality to pass those opportunities up. Pulling for another. It's called Long Shots Winner at the Masters and Fading Debutants. Just to follow, Vison says, I don't bet much MLB because it's so hard. But when Gil tells you you're obligated to bet the Nationals in 2019, you bet the Nationals and just keep cashing. I for sure remember that. The Chiefs were a little like that in the playoffs, kept giving me plus money. Wadzilla. Oh, he's got a dunk. He says, check out the dunk by Ball State's Chandler Thompson versus UNLV in the 1990 tournament. As an alum, I'm biased, but got to be up there. There you go. There's a dunk.
I like it.
33 years ago. I like that. Los Vegas 514. Yo, can you do more Foghorn Leghorn? He is my favorite. Really.
I still love when everybody tweets you with yo to start out, because the Gil yo, it just cracks me up.
Yo.
Yo.
Yo. It's really Hootie Johnson, but it sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. He's about as sharp as a bowling ball. Jason H11 was pointing out the thing about that it is Sam Burns and not Max Homa. So it's again, Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns, who have pending children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody ever says that.
Just
their
like
wives
your
may go
slip.
Into labor. Pending children. He does point out, he goes, but great, now Max Homa's like, how did my wife get pregnant? I was listening to this show. Man. All right. We appreciate all the tweets. Also, we get texts. Chris Felica, who was listening in. Are you familiar with a Chris Felica?
I was. I was listening to the fantastic Bear Bets podcast on my way in this
Bear
morning.
Bear Bets pod.
Masters preview with Will and Sammy P.
Will and Sammy P. on the Bear Bets pod with Chris Felica. He says in the last 5 years, he doesn't like the Rory talk, Chris Felica.
Mm.
He says in the last five
Not
years,
really either.
Yeah. Last 5 years, Rory McIlroy has missed the cut twice, and the three times he made the cut, he entered the weekend outside the top 20. So it's been a while since he was in the mix after 36 holes, let alone further.
And this season's been up and down. I mean, he put some stuff together last week, but I mean, third of the Valero, it's been hanging around that top 20 range.
Hey, Kelly, please don't interrupt Chris. He's got more to say.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
Of the five players in the Masters era who completed the career Grand Slam, each of them needed three or fewer starts in the needed major to win and finish off the Slam from the time they won their third different major. McIlroy's 10th attempt at the career Grand Slam will come at this, the 88th Masters. So while Rory seemingly has many more shots to finish the career Slam off, history says if you don't finish it off quickly, you never will. Thank you, Chris Velika. Very well done there. Fair bets pod, by
yeah,
the way.
Chatter the pod.
Fox Sports, Chris Velika. Oh, and Michael Montesano wants to chime in on this whole Wemby thing, too. He goes, I've been hearing cases.
Wait, Michael Montesano has Wemby thoughts?
I've been hearing cases by many of the quote-unquote experts for Gobert that he is quote-unquote anchoring the top defensive team in the NBA. When I hear that, I assume he is head and shoulders the best defensive player on his team. Well, according to Basketball Reference, he has a DBPM, that's defensive box plus minus, of plus 1.7. Mike Conley's a plus 1.4. Naz Reid is a plus 1.2. Gobert isn't anchoring blank. It's a little match game, 74 for you right there. Yeah. Anywho, by the way, word of the day. Did you get any responses for word of the day?
Oh, I got a million. I tweeted out that graphic of our words of the day so far this week. We got a lot that came in.
Totality on Monday, debutante yesterday.
Some of these are extremely random. Some of them are funny. We've got Eve. I don't know why that one. Installed got sent in three times by three different people.
Installed
so
is good.
Good job, audience.
You can't bet it unless it's installed.
Exactly. So good job by the audience. We got Serengeti, Pimento, Bacon. I don't really know all. And then we some callbacks from yesterday. Seismology.
Yeah.
Stable Uncrustables. I like that one. Bent Grass, Azalea, Falconer, and then my favorite one would be Penal. So that is
funny. No matter what.
That's always funny. And there's one gentleman out there who gets mad at Matt Brown for every time because he uses the word penal too much.
Oh, he loves that word. But Matt Brown also pronounces things that shouldn't be pronounced the way they are, and
correct.
It sounds like that word. So like the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals. Yeah. The Bengals.
He can't say Bengals. He's like the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm like, who?
According to him, I can't say the Atlanta Hawks correctly. So
because you go Hawks.
Yeah, I still don't hear a difference. But yeah.
Yeah. All right, have we left anything out that we have not today? We touched upon the weather. We touched on in-game. We didn't really touch about that today, which is the Scottie Schefflers of the world, right, who are 4-1 right now. Now, some people have him at a better price. They got him earlier, 8-1. There's some 11-1s out there. Good on you. But for those who are landing on this tournament now, he's plus 450 to win it. By the way, minus 200 as a top 10-er, which is just ridiculous. Ridiculously good. That's how good of a golfer he is. I don't mean that it's mispriced. But for a guy like Scheffler, like if you want to get in on him, because somebody, you know, again, we all have friends who are not like serious bettors. So they're like, oh, you don't have any Scheffler? I'm like, I don't. You're not going to bet him? No, I'm going to hope that he does not, you know, get too close to the lead after round one and that we might be able to get a better price on him after the first round. But again, citing that trend, we don't love trends on this show, but last 19 years, you got to be in the top 10 after the first round to win this thing. Yeah. It is not a catch-up course.
Right.
And I don't mean ketchup and mustard. I mean catch-up. You cannot come from behind. So who besides Scottie Scheffler falls into that category for you where you're like, you know what? I'd bet this person, but it's just a little too short for me now. And I'm gonna hope for him to not go well, and then I'm okay if he does, and I don't get a bet in on him.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you mean guys that I'm actually willing to bet and say the hell with that trend because they've fallen a little behind, I'm going to get in on them because there will be a couple of those.
I guess that's what I'm asking.
I think that's kind of what you're asking, and that would be Scottie Scheffler. It would be Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka for me.
Those are the only three that could buck that.
I think so. And even Brooks, I'm going to say meh on Brooks because I think a lot of these live guys, like we just talked about with Ben Raza, like you've heard us talk about all week, there's a lot of the live guys that you just –
I don't really know where a lot of these guys are at. I'm just going to be completely honest. Don't really know. And what's the glory of live betting? You can get the idea of watching these guys play for a round or a couple rounds and get a feel for where they're really at with their games and then make a decision, even if it's at a worse price. Like, I think I brought that up the other day with Brooks. Like, I'm okay getting in on Brooks at a worse price if I see him, okay, these first couple rounds, he's actually putting it together. Maybe he's in that 20th on the leaderboard range, something like that, and I can get in live at, I don't know, 12, 14 to 1, something like that. I'd rather do that than bet him before the tournament right now.
Are you ready to acknowledge, I shouldn't phrase it that way, has the LIV Tour messed up golf betting to a certain degree for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's two ways, right? One, on the one hand, when they do come and they play in a tournament like this, you're like, I have no way to really properly grade them. But then the other way is their absence on a week-to-week basis allows perhaps for more of these long shots to come in at a rate that they didn't used to?
Yes. I think almost every golf bettor would answer that differently to a different degree. I think anybody that tells you it hasn't messed with their golf betting is lying to you.
Or in denial.
It has to have at least a little bit. And honestly, I think this is... I think stuff like this week, like you're talking about, with where you get all these LIV golfers back in and you have to question, because there's still so many LIV overall questions we have, right? Like Matt Brown was talking about Cameron Smith on the long shots yesterday, and it's, Matt's a believer in Cameron Smith, is a kind of guy who's taking his bag of money and he's kind of good with life. He's talked about how he likes spending more time fishing and not even really on the golf course these days. And you've got to question things like that, which you never would have before.
I'd like to apologize to the Homa family for insinuating that his wife was pregnant.
Don't rush anywhere.
Yeah.
I want to go back real quick to something Ben brought up, too. With the weather question, I actually think if you're that worried about it, you want to target one specific range of tee times, I actually think he nailed it. It's the middle of the day ones, because they might have enough time to finish out their round if stuff gets pushed back.
I see. Whereas the late folks who might get the best of the weather might have a halved tournament or something.
Exactly.
Or halved round, I should say. I want to ask you about specific golfers later. Finau, the Schauffeles of the world. Jason Weingarten next. Earthquakes, plane crashes next. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money, once again, does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage, why don't you, this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. I think you're right. I think that's where you put it in. We found our rhythm. Unstoppable now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Barkan at the D. It's a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Michael Harrison just finished listening to the Masters podcast. Gil is so professional and well-spoken on ANG that when I hear him swear on the Megapod, it feels like hearing your teacher or grandparent curse for the first time as a kid. LOL, keep up the greatness. I got another tweet where someone was like, I had Gil cursing over 1.5 times. I cursed early and then never again. He was like, that was a really tough beat that he took.
Ooh,
yeah, it was
that
tough
is
beat.
Tough.
Tough beat.
It's funny because it definitely when you're doing that podcast, the first one that you dropped, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can loosen up. I'm like, I had other shows. Like, I had to do the long shot show like an hour later. And I get really in my head about that because, you know, me off air, like I could swear like a sailor, and it's one of those.
I've heard you.
Yeah, you're like, okay, stay dialed into on air mode so you don't go down that path.
Nathan Henry, yo, that's his whole tweet. Matthew Mayberry, I parlayed Gunnar Henderson to steal a base and Mullins to steal a base, each separately with Scotty yesterday to win the Masters. They both stole a bag. I now have Scotty 43-1 and 30-1 to win the Masters.
I don't hate it. It was Sammy P brought that up on the Bear Bets podcast about doing like a top 10 with Scotty and parlaying it. I think that's a great idea.
So I think this betting maneuver, people trying to, in essence, boost the ultimate, right? The Scotty part of it, like, but pick your whatever your ultimate is in a let's say a three legger like this one. I think this gets done more by people than we let on, right? Like, I think this is a huge, like in tennis tournaments. J-Rod, for instance, does this all the time. He goes, now I have Iga at 50-1, right? Because he hit the first two legs of the match. So I think that's a betting behavior that we minimize.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that I think we'd do it more ourselves if we had more of those options available to us.
Hey, we don't know anything about it. We live in Nevada, and when we get sports betting legalized, boy, is this going to be a place. And then primetime. Agreed that Augusta National is not a ketchup course, Gil, but a few too many egg salad sandwiches there on a hot day, and it becomes a mustard course. There you go. Jason Weingarten joins us from another cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason, what's happening?
Good morning. The parlay thing you mentioned with like Scotty and stuff, yeah. I do that for the Super Bowl. I did that to the 49ers this last year. I don't get to do it a lot otherwise, just because it's not an option most places to parlay stuff with, you know, golf futures. But you brought up an interesting point, which with these parlays and everything, the stolen bases. I'm seeing more and more this year of people attacking baseball through the most unconventional means, whether it's stolen base props or home run parlays or round robins. Like, this is all stuff that didn't exist, you know, even 2-3 years ago. So yeah. it's very interesting to see the different ways people are attacking things, because you practically have endless options. Like, I can sit here between now and when first pitch starts this afternoon, like the normal West Coast time.
It's incredible.
Just going through books and looking for props, and I still won't find everything.
It's incredible. It's, and you and I are old, and I say this jokingly, you and I are old enough to remember, because it's only like we forget. 6 years ago, like five inning betting, first five was not everywhere. It really wasn't. Like, you couldn't even like give those out as plays because it didn't exist at every book. People didn't have access to it. So that's how far we've come, obviously, with legalization. And then the DraftKings of the world that have these big menus. By the way, I've asked this question of others. I'm not sure I've asked it of you. Does this rash of Tommy John surgeries make you not want to bet Cy Young's here early in the year?
No, that doesn't bother me at all. I mean, like last week I bet $250 on Shane Bieber and I'm now out $250. You know, that's going to happen every now and then, but it happens in every sport. You know, it happens in every futures market or whatever, that you bet something and the guy's going to get hurt. So you obviously have to assume that there's a risk with the pitchers and especially the good ones, but you know, odds are odds, and I'm happy to kind of focus in on a couple guys, and you know, I think there'll still be a lot of volatility, but I think the Cy Young market's the easiest market to bet, because we have the Tom Tango stuff that basically tells you every week who
that's
the winners
right.
are.
That's right. We've talked about this on this show, that the most tried and true predictor of ultimate Cy Young Award winners is Tom Tango's Cy Young predictor, and he listens to this show as well. He would chime in when we would talk about it, which was awesome.
When people ask me who's going to win the Cy Young, I'm like, well, I could just repeat the Tom Tango numbers back to you, or you can go look at them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
he was right last
thing.
Year.
You know, he's been right like the last 5 years.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, he pretty much, you know who the top three are going to be. So it's just like, you know, I think most of the work's being done for me and for everybody else. So I don't know. I think Cy Young's easy to bet.
Yeah, and it's a super simple formula. We'll talk about that as the year goes on. It's not nearly as complicated. Although I would, Blake Snell, smoke and mirrors last year, and good on everybody who had him that it kept going. Because it sure didn't in his first start with the Giants, I'll tell you that, now that he finally drove up from San Diego to the Bay Area. Did you bet anything in baseball today?
I did not bet anything in baseball today. I got to go run some errands, and then I got Masters prep stuff to do the rest of today. Unfortunately, for me, I really wish baseball season officially started after the Masters, because with March Madness and the Masters, it's just like baseball takes a backseat with the day games, the cold weather games. Like, now the thing I am paying most attention to, though, is – the loser team seem to be losing a lot quicker this year. You know, 1-11 for the Marlins. Their season's essentially over before it began. There's, you know, stuff with the manager. Skip Schumacher had a year taken off his contract. He's definitely not coming back. It's just a question of when he leaves now. But there's there's some teams that are just straight up disasters, and I'm kind of focusing in, you know, are they going to get any better? Are the Marlins going to get better? Are the A's going to get better? Are the White Sox going to get better? Like, I don't think so. I think, you know, we've identified the loser teams already this year.
Throw the Rockies into that mix, even though they've won three times as well. Okay.
Yeah, that's always Rockies, though.
Always Rockies, that's for sure. About the Masters, what do you do pre-flop versus in-tournament?
I have a couple bets so far. Nothing really crazy. I did bet Phil Mickelson over Tiger Woods, just the matchup. I think, you know, like you're not going to fool me, Tiger Woods. You don't have a viable leg. You're a one-legged man out there practically in a golf tournament. I'll take Phil Mickelson, the actual guy who still golfs occasionally, over the one-legged man. Prove me wrong. I've been proven wrong several times in the Masters, so it wouldn't be the first, but I thought it was a cheap price. I think I laid -120 on Phil.
But you wait in terms of, like, you know, to win the tournament, you typically wait till the tournament starts?
I mean, I do a lot of pre-tournament golf betting, but in this case, like I don't really have any significant edge on the Masters here. I kind of like John Rahm. I kind of like DJ. I might actually bet a little bit of DJ today, but in general, like, I don't really have any insight on this better than anybody else. Maybe after it tees off, get an idea who's playing well, I'll find something to bet. But you know, I'm just gonna fire a couple bullets before and end up wasting money if I really bet on the Masters here. So I really don't have much.
Okay. You have often brought up Rose Zhang on this show on the LPGA Tour, but it's Nelly Korda who is destroying the tour. Four straight wins. Have you been on her in betting, you know, in outrights at all in any of these?
Because her numbers are always pretty low to begin with. But yeah, four in a row is super impressive for men, women, any sport, anything. Win four tournaments in a row. The last one was the match play, which I actually missed because it started on Wednesday. I forgot, you know, that it was a 5-day thing. So I missed that whole tournament entirely. But no, I have not been betting her. Her numbers have never been great, but it's really impressive to watch. I've obviously been following it, and, you know, four is, you know, I can't recall anyone else doing that anytime recently.
All right. Did you have a first to 10 wins bet in baseball? Did you have any of those?
Nothing. I just keep looking at adding some futures. I did bet a futures parlay today at FanDuel. I bet Juan Soto MVP with Corbin Burns AL Cy Young pays about 21-1. That's a good bet. 21-1 on that.
Soto Burns parlay from Jason Weingarten. Jason, a space shuttle docuseries on CNN. You'll love it.
Thank you. I'll check it out. I'll talk to you guys later this week.
I recommend
it. One week ahead. Masters, yeah, everything.
Yes, indeed. Can't Jason wait. Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. I recommend it to Jason because he has a predilection for such things. We'll come back. More Masters talk. Name by name next. Pack Fight Card has taken over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has given new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. That's VSIN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside, right here at Bar Canada at the D. Tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Roger Jones: guys, forget about the Defense Player of the Year. The narrative that needs to be pushed is Kelly's reputation as the cooler William H. Macy, so a comfortable show can take place. What is he referring to?
I don't know. I don't know what that means, but it's a great movie. I watch it. I will watch it.
I just read them. Doesn't have to have an explanation. I just Kentucky Connection. Nas will lose Sixth Man of the Year, and it'll be by more than just one vote. All the Minnesota fan base is hyping it up, but he's not Malik. All right. Very angry.
That's what it sounds like. Sounds like there's no bias there at all.
No. Brad Billups: didn't Hootie Johnson call it the Masters tournament? He did. I always say that on the show when I do it. I always say the tournament.
Yeah, Gil said that 18 times this week.
That's right. Oh, that's the word of the day. Tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
Michael Burns: I've got Scotty at 28-1 and Hideki at 86-1 with UConn.
See, there you go. Perfect example.
And then he says some stuff that I don't want to repeat. Chance Copperpot, you had a guy on a little over a year ago that explained how he parlayed favorite futures. I've been trying it. It's worked out well. I had Verstappen, the Las Vegas Aces, and the Chiefs parlay, and it put me in a great position. Fun bets as well. Chris Felica does a lot of that with the favorites. But what we were talking about was not just the champions. What we were talking about is like what Jason's example, I think, is very popular. When on the run-up to the Super Bowl,
right,
to boost, quote-unquote, your bet on the Niners or the Chiefs or whatever, people play like two NBA totals that week and parlay together. I'm not saying we do it, but it's a behavior that is very rampant.
Yeah. I've got a lot of texts from friends, too. Like, this is where it's the fine line, because I think there are ways, like Michael Burns, like, I think there's some really intelligent ways to do it, right? But I've also gotten texts with friends that have bet slips that are like, okay, cool, you have the next seven different championships, like, parlayed together in different fashions. Like, yeah. It could easily become a leak, too, that you don't want to have.
Last two here, because it was Kevin Roth with a weather update coming up from Augusta. This is from NHBettor. Iga to win the French, Scotty to win the Masters. As I write this, it dropped from plus 1150 to 9-1. And then James Sott said, when I was going to Vegas for March Madness and I saw my plane was a 737, I thought I better not be on that plane. That goes down so Jason can't talk about it on ANG. It's very dark Jason Weingarten humor is what that is. Ladies and gentlemen, before we talk some more Masters, we're always thrilled to have this gentleman on the show. We were talking off air. Typically, his big days are like the Friday before the NFL weekend when there's going to be weather situations and in multiple locations. But it works for the Masters as well. From rotogrinders.com, it's our buddy Kevin Roth. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, thanks. I'm excited to come on talk about this tournament with you guys.
This tournament, yeah, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. All right, so what's the deal, Kevin, as you see it right now on the old Doppler? What do you got going at Augusta?
Starts ugly, ends nice. And when I say starts ugly, I mean I do not expect that this tournament starts when it is supposed to start. So tomorrow morning, you've got this line of heavy rain and thunderstorms that should be moving through. The good news is that the timeline on this has kind of moved up. When I looked at it yesterday, I thought, man, they might get rain all day. And now I think that rain is mostly overnight and through the morning. And by the late morning, or at least by noon, that rain, that storm system should be cleared out. And so that gives us time to at least get some golfers back out there, assuming the course holds up okay. And I do expect that we will see golf tomorrow, but I would almost guarantee a late start. I cannot fathom a way where they're golfing on time.
Oh, that's interesting.
In that morning round.
So when we're on air, it may not have started by then. But as you were saying, Kelly, that's more of a, you're looking for the guys in the middle then. So the guys who, would you say, Kevin, that the tee off late, there is a possibility they might not be able to finish their first round.
There is. And that's when it always gets so tricky trying to time out, who's going to get the best wave, who gets the wind advantage. Well, if there's going to be a late start and everybody's pushed back and now all of a sudden the times are not as cut and dry as they should be, we truly don't know. And to that, I'll add the wind conditions for the remainder of the day, once golf can start, once the rain clears out, is pretty consistent. It's 15 to 20 mile per hour sustained winds, gusts of around 30 miles per hour, maybe up to 35. And that's essentially through the remainder of the day. So it's tough to try to say this is the edge to have, because we don't know the timing. And after the rain, the weather's fairly similar.
Does the wind continue into Friday at all?
It does. Great question. It does. It's still pretty breezy on Friday. And again, I expect kind of a similar spot, 15 to 20 mile per hour sustained winds. Those gusts should be around 30. And again, I don't really see a time, whether you're talking really early in the morning or really late, I don't really see a good time to avoid it. The peak winds on Friday are going to be right around noon, we'll say late morning into the early afternoon. But when you get the wind in that time frame, it's just tough to try to pick a wave that doesn't have any wind impacts, because everybody's going to see it at some point.
Though if I'm forced to make a handicap on all of this, it sounds like the late starters Thursday may get the worst of both ends. Maybe. And again, it's weather, right? So who knows? But it kind of sounds that way.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
The question is, are the late starters Thursday going to golf Thursday?
That's
or are
right.
they going to get pushed back
That's right.
Friday? You know, it's really, when you get these rain situations, it can just be really tough to try to parse out those details, because the timing is inexact. For now, as I look at this, like, I want there to be a weather advantage so bad because I love it in golf when there is. There's a huge one last
right.
week with gusty winds at the Valero, you know, gusting over 30 miles per hour Friday afternoon. But I just don't – I know weather's going to be an issue, but I don't think that there's a way that we can play it to get the advantage from the bad weather.
All right. At Kevin Roth WX is where you are on Twitter. Kevin, by the way, do you bet the Masters? Do you have a pick for us before you leave?
No, I golf is not my sport. I will tune in. If it's close on Sunday, okay. If it's interesting, I might catch the final round. But now I'm more of a hoops and football guy.
All right. Well, we appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you for that.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Of course, I'm going to be keeping things updated. You mentioned on Twitter at Kevin Roth WX and on Roto Grinders as well. Guys, bring me back anytime. Any weather-related sport, I'm happy to join.
Very much appreciate that. Kevin Roth WX. Thank you, Kevin, for those nice resource to go to as the weather, as the day today goes by and also in the morning.
I thought it was interesting listening. He brought up the Valero last week too, and was listening to a couple of the former players talk about the wind and how it affects things. And Kevin, we've had on so many times before. Always done a great job of kind of getting some numbers in my head, right? Of at what number does it start to affect a football, right? For
right.
kickers and everything. And that was always kind of over 15 miles per hour. And what he always said for, you know, golf ball weighs less wind, right? So he would always kind of say over 10 mile an hour, you got to be on the lookout for. Listening to some of the former players, though, talk about it is interesting because with golf, they're all about the gusts. They're like, as long as there's consistent wind, every golfer can adjust for that. They're used to it. They know how to adjust for it. But when you get these rapid gusts that spike up, that's when it becomes really difficult, you know, for the golfers to figure out exactly what club to grab, what type of shot to hit, all that kind of stuff.
So we don't know if this is our last 2 minutes before the tournament starts based on what he just said with the weather. But if it is, I just want to close with, outside of Rory, I'm trying to think of which are the names that elicit the most groans from people when we mention, hey, this person
Xander
has
Schauffele.
A pet. So Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau, I would say. Finau, you don't have any bets on.
I have a matchup. I did
a
play him in a matchup over, why can I not even remember this, Fleetwood.
Here's my real question, and this is anecdotal, but we have a lot of folks, including the great Wes Reynolds, who like Xander here. But we've had more than Wes say that. Why is everybody seemingly coalescing around Xander right now?
I mean, I think that's pretty easy to explain. I mean, you have a lot of the – it probably brought this up yesterday a little bit more. But, okay, if you feel like there's a lot of uncertainty with LIV golfers, well, the PGA Tour golfers, a lot of the guys that you would have expect to be the top-of-the-line guys heading into this event, a lot of them have had some up-and-down seasons. And I'm talking about – the Patrick Cantlays, the Max Homas, the Colin Morikawas, these guys that are massive names on tour that really haven't put together a lot of great tournaments heading into the Masters. And then you go and look at what guys like Hideki have done, what Xander Schauffele has done this season and in the history at the Masters. I mean, you're 6 top 10s in 8 events this year for Xander Schauffele. He's T10, T3, T17, and T2 in four of his last 5 Masters.
T2 in 2019.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're going, what is his course history? What has he done recently? It's Scottie Scheffler and then it's Xander Schauffele on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, except one guy has a lot of ones and the other guy
yes,
doesn't.
That's the big difference.
I just found it interesting that there was a lot of Schauffele love this week.
Oh, it shocked me here in town with what I saw numbers kind of reopen up Sunday, Monday at on nationwide books and then how they got hammered here in Vegas. It was shocking.
Word of the day, tournament. We've done all we could do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.